And we bring in with us now one of the former great general managers in the National Football League, a great friend and a great analyst now for ESPN, for Sirius XM, NFL Radio, my good buddy Bill Polian. Bill, how you doing?
Good, thank you. Vic, how are you?
Doing great, and thanks for taking a few minutes to join us. I want to start with your Browns takes. It's an 0-2 team, Bill, but it was a better-looking offense from week two compared with week one. And just looking at, let's start with the quarterback position, Brandon Whedon's progress in the course of that week. I mean, he was just a different guy. Your sense of how a quarterback is able, a rookie, is able to turn it around that fast. And I know, you know, the opponent has something to do with it. There's a lot of other variables, matchups, and so forth. But just on the basics, how do you see that progression?
Well, Browns fans are not going to like this, but rookie quarterbacks all struggle. And really it takes 4 years for a quarterback to reach the level where, you know, he's capable of taking his team to and winning a Super Bowl. So this is a work in progress, and you have to realize that. And I've said on numerous occasions, both to you and to other people in Cleveland, that, you know, I understand that there's been a long history of losing, but that isn't the fault of Brandon Whedon or Pat Shurmur or Mike Holmgren or anybody else who's presently associated with the Browns. And so you got to give everybody time to breathe and to grow and to develop. Now, that said, and recognizing that there will be rough spots down the road, it was very, very gratifying to see him come out and get the ball out of his hand quickly, to complete a lot of balls, to gain a lot of yardage, to gain confidence. He himself said that it proved to him that he could play in the league. That's an important step with a rookie quarterback, and he's being very honest. And, of course, I have had terrific experience with both Jim Kelly and Peyton Manning, and I remember them both saying the same thing, probably more privately than publicly, but this is a different era in terms of media.
Yes.
But he's learning on the job, and he's getting better, and he's growing with confidence, and that's a good thing. And the fact that, and the Browns fans also saw what the running back can do. I mean, he's really special. That highlight hit on the linebacker was really fun to watch. But more importantly, he's gonna be a dynamic player for the Browns. And so, for the first time, the two really good players on offense who have the potential, I emphasize the word potential, to be difference makers, mm-hmm. they're not there yet. Showed you what Tom Heckert and his staff and Mike and Pat and all the others saw. So, a step in the right direction, no question. Now, the loss of Joe Hayden in the secondary is a real difficult loss.
Sure.
And that's going to be very hard for them to handle going down the line because, you know, for virtually everybody in the National Football League, depth is an issue.
Right.
But it's more so with Cleveland because they're in a building process.
Right. Bill, I want to talk about that depth issue, but backing up with Whedon and Richardson, ultimately, and I mean, you get Whedon because of that big arm, and Pat Shurmur, you know, from that Andy Reid school of thinking. You throw basically to set up the run. You want to take those shots, and they feel they've got that, you know, that guy to do it under center. But my question is, for the time being, does it make sense, especially after what we saw Richardson do against the Bengals and how much he was able to do really after missing a month of the preseason, the whole preseason, how do you see the dynamic of game planning and maybe strategy to help out Whedon? Do you see it making more sense that the running back is going to be even a larger part of things now than maybe he will be once Whedon gets more familiar, as you say, goes through that learning process?
Yeah, well, you know, any good football coach, and Pat is a good football coach, is going to utilize the weapons that he has. And the best weapons the Browns have is Richardson. He's an exceptional running back. And so I'm sure they'll utilize him very effectively. Brad Childress utilized the AP extremely effectively in Minnesota, and he's the offensive coordinator, and he and Pat will be collaborating on the game plan. And I'm sure you'll see stuff that's very, very similar to what they did in Minnesota, where they had a bell cow ball carrier who can make special things happen, and then build the passing game around that and the receiving. I mean, it's no secret the Browns receiving core does not have a dynamic playmaker there yet, and so they're gonna do what they have to do to move the football, and that means getting it in the hands of the people who can, and Richardson is certainly one of them.
Bill Polian joining us from ESPN, former NFL executive, multi-time NFL executive of the year. Bill, when we look at the depth that you mentioned, and the secondary in particular, and yeah, Joe Hayden's absence was missed greatly against Cincinnati. It's going to continue to be missed for these next few weeks. So what do you do as a team? I mean, what are the way, other than hoping that the next man up thing works and the young people, Buster Screen and others, Dimitri Patterson, who are back there, Trevin Wade, the draft pick, can pick up some slack. But how else do you manage and adjust around this?
Well, managing and adjusting is the appropriate phrase. I mean, that's what Dick Geron has to do. Now, he's very good at it. He knows what he's doing. He'll I'm sure go back to some basic coverages. And work hard to let his young guys adapt and grow within some basic parameters where they feel comfortable. You can't get too sophisticated when you've got young guys playing back there. But by the same token, pass coverage is pass coverage. As long as you don't get too exotic with it, it's not very different from what they did at the college level. The level of player that they're competing against is very different, but the skill set and the techniques are not too different. So that's what I'm sure that's what Dick will do. He'll throttle it down a little bit so that they can function well. It's important, you know, that players feel comfortable in what they're doing, and that you go back to Whedon and that showed very clearly last week. I mean, I don't know that they I would have no way of knowing whether they scaled the game plan back, but he certainly was very comfortable in executing his job, and that's what Dick will do with the young DBs, and that may require scaling back a little bit, but as Tony Dungy always said, you know, less is always better if you can execute.
Bill, a team that you know quite well because that's where you first made your GM bones, the Buffalo Bills, faced the Browns this weekend. And just looking at that team and where they are now, they made such a great effort in the offseason to add defensive players, Mario Williams, Mark Anderson, to that defensive front to go along with what they already had there in Kyle Williams, Marcel Darius. And then, you know, knowing they also have a C.J. Spiller who's really emerged these last 2 weeks, leads the league in rushing. What do you see of this Buffalo team and of the challenges they present to the Browns?
Well, it's almost a mirror image in many ways. You know, Fitzpatrick has had some difficulties in the past with interceptions. He had a rough week opening week, and then they bounced back last week and played exceptionally well against the Kansas City team that is, to be truly honest with you, is very puzzling to me. I mean, that's why the NFL is so interesting. Most people would have thought that Kansas City had a chance to challenge for that division, yet they certainly don't look that way in the first 2 weeks. So what Buffalo has done is said, okay, we've lost their big stud running back to injury. Let's put C.J. Spiller in there. It's been 3 years. It's time for him to earn his spurs, and he certainly has earned them. And as Chan said, if he's got C.J. Spiller and a big offensive line moving the football, he's going to run it every down. And so I think you'll see a run-oriented attack from the Bills much more so than they've had in the past, and the less that they have to put Fitz back there, with a line that's not terribly great at pass protection, then, you know, the better off they'll be. Now, can they do that against a pretty stout Cleveland front? We'll see. That's an interesting part of the matchup. It's an interesting way to look at that. Mm-hmm. Stevie Johnson is a big play down the field receiver, and obviously he'll challenge the Browns secondary, but pass protection is not the Bills' strong suit at this point. So, that's a yin and yang matchup mm-hmm. that you want to watch closely. On the other side of the ball, obviously Richardson can run the ball, and Buffalo's defense is predicated around that front four. So it's a heck of a test for the Cleveland offensive line. I think it's a really great test because they're going to find out what they can do in terms of pass protection and protecting Brandon Whedon, and specifically running the ball against a very stout front. So, I think the two keys to the ball game are the Browns stopping the run, and the Browns' ability to run the football. If right. you can run and stop the run in this ball game, I think you got a heck of a chance to win.
Bill, you mentioned Peyton Manning earlier, and you had a chance to see him Monday night in that game in Atlanta. You were there for ESPN. I would like you to just tell me kind of where things are with him, because it was surprising, I guess, to see three, or maybe it isn't, for those who still are skeptical about his recovery from that, from that neck issue. Three interceptions in struggling to handle that Falcons offense as much as he did.
Yeah, well, there's nothing surprising there. Number one, opening games are always a little bit of an outlier, because good coaches spend time in the spring and in training camp preparing for the opener. And what Pittsburgh does is well known. I mean, it's not something that's a secret. They're a heavily zone blitz oriented team, and they can do that stuff very, very well. Well, you know, the Broncos were prepared, and Peyton was prepared, and they knew what they were getting, and Ryan Clark was out, which helped a little bit, and they really lit it up. And now they came in against a Falcon team that they're not used to playing. It's a cross-conference game, but they're playing against a coordinator that they're very used to playing, Mike Nolan. Peyton's very used to playing him, and guess what? Every game against Mike Nolan was a dogfight when he was in Baltimore. Now, I think we won all of them, but they were all dogfights, all white-knuckle games that came down to the last possession. Mm. And this game came down to the last possession, yeah. Actually.
Right.
Most of America didn't see it, thanks to the replacement officials. They went to bed, but those of us who stayed up saw a pretty good ball game. But for the first quarter and a half, Peyton was discombobulated by what Nolan was doing, which was essentially take nine creepers and walk them around, and then on the snap of the ball, release them into their assignments. Yeah. Two things happened there. The first is that Peyton doesn't have Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark and Marvin Harrison and Edgerrin James to make big plays. His supporting cast is not quite of that level. And secondly, he hasn't worked with them long enough to be able to dissect what went on and fix it on the bench. They had to wait until halftime to get it straightened out, and then they did, and then they moved the ball, and actually Decker had a chance to make a play in the at the end of the third quarter that probably would have changed all the momentum in the ball game, and he didn't catch the ball. Mm-hmm. So, a ball that Reggie Wayne probably catches 90 out of 100 times. So, bottom line, there it is. But perfectly explainable. Historically explainable. As a matter of fact, I said on the pregame show that the unknown factor here is what Mike Nolan is going to do. Will he bleed the clock? Will he make a move at 9 seconds? He didn't. He used nine creepers, but you never know what Mike's going to do. And so give him credit. They did a great job, but I didn't think there's anything wrong with Peyton.
Right. Okay. Well, great stuff, Bill, as always. We enjoyed it, and we look forward to talking with you down the line.
Okay, take care.
All right, he is Bill Polian from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.